Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Spider-Man home potting with Aaron and Skylar.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's up, guys?
How are we doing?
Good, Skylar. How excited for you for your third Spider-Man reboot in your lifetime?
I just wish they'd bring Toby back. I mean, we got the Spider-Man movie where he, like, was Spider-Man. Then we got the one where he rode a horse. And then we got the one where he played chess.
And then we got the one where he's friends with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the one where, like, he gets angry?
The flapper parties?
He gets angry in Ocean's 12? Or Ocean's 13?
You're thinking Brothers with Jake Gyllenhaal and Toby.
I'm pretty sure.
No, what about the one where he's in black and white?
Oh, wait, is
the
that Topher? Movie? That's the one with Topher.
So, do you subscribe to this internet theory about Topher Grace and Tobey Maguire being the same person?
I think so. I mean, I couldn't tell you which one was an Interstellar.
Neither. Okay.
Oh, definitely one of them was in it.
I kid you not, right before the movie gets started, my sister, who I went to go see this with, she was visiting from Texas. She leans over to me, and she's like, "Is this the one with Tobey Maguire?" And I said, "Yes." And but before we get into Spider-Man, there's a couple of housekeeping things we got to take care of. One about how Lonzo Ball cowered away from De'Aaron Fox
and somebody
again.
No.
But before that. Guys, the more I've spent time thinking about it, and the more it's kind of been gestating in my brain, Baby Driver is the best movie that's come out, and I don't think it's close this year.
It's the most fun movie. It's definitely the best in-theater experience I've had this year.
Okay.
I don't know about the best movie overall.
I think my opinion of it might have dropped a little bit between...
Oh, mine's only gone up. See, I came in having a few issues with the third act that, like, didn't totally tear it down for me, but, like, I've gotten over those issues. Now, I haven't seen it a second time yet, and I really want to, but I don't know if it's everyone else's analysis or if I get caught up in the hype that's made me like it more, but I'm definitely, in my mind right now, it's the best film that's come out in 2017. But also, that could also be due to the fact that on Saturday, I was spending some time in Midtown Sacramento celebrating my 7-year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, gents. You know, Lindsay and I are looking at buying a house. I think I'm 30, so I'm not midlife crisis yet, but I'm like starting to experience this crisis of I want to be like Skylar and live in a much more urban community. And we were looking at places, you know, these lofts in Midtown Sacramento that are like, one bedroom, one bath, 700 square feet, $700,000. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sacramento?
That's insane.
People want to live there?
Yeah, stop. Yeah, they do. It's actually, Midtown Sacramento is actually way nice. And
I mean, after Boogie got traded.
There's a ton of restaurants, and it's like way happening. But anyway, we went and got some dinner and some gelato. And anyway, we're just hanging out looking at places. I missed your comment, but I'm glad I did. And I'm going to edit it out of the pod.
That's fair.
Anyway, we're sitting waiting to get on the freeway, and we're at this light, and next to us is the off-ramp, you know, and this police car just comes blazing up the street. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but he stops in front of the off-ramp, opens his car door, and starts running, sprinting up the off-ramp. And you see this car start to back up, and all the other cars in the off-ramp are starting to back up because they're freaking out at this guy that's backing up. And all these cops are chasing this one car, and it's like, oh, it's getting exciting, right? It reminded me of Baby Driver for a minute, right? And the car turns, breaks through the guardrail, goes down the embankment, smashes into the car next to us, and then drives around it and smashes into the car behind us, and then continues and turns and goes down the one-way road that we were on in Midtown. And, I mean, we were inches away from getting hit. I mean, I'm talking inches, right? And I'm looking at the people next to us. No one's hurt because he wasn't driving fast enough to have really done serious damage, but it was, like, an annoying amount of damage when he smashes into the car next to us and behind us. And I can just see everyone just kind of like looking like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And then a bunch of cops come, you know, around the corner blazing. I should say sirens blazing. That's why I keep saying blazing. And they go down that one way chasing after him. And I felt a little bit like I was in a Baby Driver scene. And
was the driver Ansel Elgort?
That's the thing is, yeah, he had these earbuds in, right? And I'm not talking like the AirPods, right? Like these things,
the AirPods
would have been way more convenient.
Oh, you're showing off your AirPods?
Yeah,
oh.
I got my AirPods. He had the string ones, and they were looked like
they're
not
were even
off
wearing
brand.
Them. You're not even wearing AirPods. Unbelievable.
And I think he may have been the Middle Eastern version of Ansel.
Now, okay, so he backed into the car and he knocked off the guardrail, but. Yeah. Did he showcase any driving skills other
no,
than
did he
pull
no,
the
brakes,
did he pull the e-brake?
No, and that it made me mad because I was like, you could have done that a lot. Like, if you had committed to, first off, that guy's getting nowhere, right? There are multiple cops chasing him. He is driving down one-way roads in Midtown Sac. He's not getting anywhere.
Wait, was it Kumail?
But what's that?
Was it Kumail?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, was it your buddy that's on the FBI's Most Wanted?
Dude,
oh,
yeah. Javed. It could have been Javed.
I'm worried about that guy sometimes.
They finally got him.
He's back in town. That's why he was coming to meet you.
Well, I heard that he was told he couldn't come back to America ever. But then eventually he made this deal with this Asian guy. If he could sneak into his dreams, then he would let him come back to America. Mm. And the Asian guy, just turns out he was just tricking him. He had no connections with the American government. So when he got back, he was just really out of luck.
Or maybe in that dream, Sacramento was a sanctuary city. And he thought, like, I'm going to be good here.
Isn't Sacramento, right? the most conservative city in California?
What's that?
Isn't Sacramento super conservative?
No. Sacramento's super liberal.
Isn't that where Arnold Schwarzenegger lives, though?
No, it's where he lived. He didn't even live in the governor's mansion when he was here. He was never in Sacramento.
It's
if you
where
were
he
to
made
ask
a baby,
conservatives
though.
In Sacramento, they'd tell you that Arnold was super liberal.
Now, when you were growing up, did you guys ever see Shia LaBeouf? Or
Even Stevens people, yeah, all the time.
Christy Carlson Romano.
Yeah, because they filmed the whole show, Even Stevens, there. And they always talked about Folsom Lake on the show, which is, you know, the big huge
Did you ever
lake.
Sing Sacramento yeah. Girl to a girl to try and get her to date you? Like, Sacramento Girl.
Yeah. I did that all the time. Works all the time. Yeah, definitely works.
Good.
I get more, you know what's funny is people talk more about Folsom Prison and Johnny Cash than they ever do about Even Stevens, but anyway.
Which is a shame. Even Stevens is way higher quality.
Yeah, no, it's true. That will
much more relevant, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He's gonna say that'll be part of our cultural zeitgeist way longer than Johnny Cash.
Wait, so okay, so this guy he crashes into the cars next to you and you don't even do the cops stop you and want to talk to you, or what's the deal?
No, the cops are still chasing him. And that's the weird thing too is that I'm on there's two lanes here on this one way, right? And so the light turns green and Lindsay looks at me and I mean her first comment is, I don't want to live in Midtown Sac.
Right away. Well, first she said the F word and then she's like, let's get the F out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
She called you an F.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, it got actually pretty salty. No. But what's funny is like the lane next to me can't go because homeboy got smashed into, and the lane behind me can't because the guy behind me got smashed into. So the light turns green and I'm the only one that can go, and go I did.
It turns. Did you roll down your window and then flip them off and then just drive away?
Just a middle finger for everyone. I mean, it was like because Lindsay looks at me and I was like, I'm going. what's funny is like I didn't immediately get on the freeway, which is where I was supposed to go. I ended up turning the corner because I kind of wanted to witness the rest of the action. Mm-hmm. And what's weird about that is that was my initial impulse, and it was incredibly stupid.
It's like real life GTA. Like that's the interesting thing about it.
It really was it was the most I ever felt like I was in Grand Theft Auto.
He had three stars for sure.
What does a guy have to do? Like, what crime did he have to have committed to where, like, police was dispatched? They knew where he had exited. They met him at the exit, and without hesitation, the cops are getting out of the car and running as fast as they can up the off-ramp, right?
Did they have their guns out?
They didn't have not initially. So once he hits the guardrail, guns get drawn.
Mm.
And that's when I'm like, there was a moment there for a second. I was like, if shots start fire, like, do we duck now? Or, like, what point do we, you know?
Yeah, that's That's a pretty hairy situation. Now, I remember I grew up in the city of Paramount, which is right next to Compton. And okay. I specifically remember staying after school one day. We were a little bit late. I actually had a class that I was taking. And we had a break. And five of us from the class went to go get a pizza from the Little Caesars across the street from the high school. And I distinctly remember walking out of the Little Caesars. We were all eating from the box. And seeing a cop around the corner, gun drawn, because someone like had held up one of the stores next to Little Caesars, and we're just standing there as he's pointing his gun, like, you know, 2 feet from our head. Eventually, he told us to leave, but I mean, we were all ready for a shootout. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I don't understand all of the policies and whatnot of when cops can or should pull out their gun
anytime that they feel like it.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. Because last time I was in Vegas, we stopped to get gas. And I remember looking, there was a Chevron on my left and a 7-Eleven on my right. I think, I don't know if it was 7-Eleven, AMPM, whatever. But the 7-Eleven, I see two cops in like being kind of stealthily against the wall with, I'm not talking handguns. I'm talking like a semi-automatic rifles. And I was like, what is this? And so, naturally, I select that gas station because I was like, I'm going to get a front row seat to this show, you know? And I pull up, and what's weird is they're being all quiet. They're not motioning to anyone. I'm looking at the cars next to me, and everyone's, like, in the same mode I am. That's like, yeah. I'm watching whatever's about to happen here. And he stands there for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, and eventually I was like, I'm getting out of my car because I really want the salt and vinegar kettle chips.
Well, and you know the fact that as soon as he sees your white face, you're safe.
That's what, so, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
No, you're banking on that.
Of color, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near that. No. And so I get out of the car, and I walk up, and he's like, and he proceeds to whisper to us that like they had hit the button that like warned or whatever that like they were getting held up or whatever. Yeah. I thought that was only in movies that they have like a button under the counter, you know, but they had hit some sort of, you know, thing. And I go in there and I talk to the counter guy, and I mentioned him. I was like, there's cops with guns out there. He's like, oh yeah, I accidentally hit the button, but I called them and let them know that it was like an incident. I was like, they've been out there like 15 minutes with guns drawn, like waiting for something to happen. So it just seems like weird that they wouldn't like maybe go in there first and figure out like if the situation's, you know.
Well, like, they figured if someone starts shooting in the 7-Eleven, eventually they're gonna have to leave. So at that point, then they'll have to jump on the guy.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, they'll wait for whatever crap to happen first rather than preventing it. Anyway, I'm just glad I didn't get shot. But it made me wish that Ansel Elgort was the culprit in the car because this guy sucked at driving.
Well, Ansel is I think he's the early favorite for the 2017 Domhnall Award, right?
You think so? The Donal?
No, the Domhnall.
Oh, the Domhnall.
Yeah.
Don't you say his name wrong. Don't you disrespect Domhnall.
That's the correct way to say it is Domhnall.
What else is he doing this year? I don't think he's doing anything else.
No, he's, I mean, he.
Ansel?
What he is in the running for is the 2017 Miles Teller Worst Interview Award. Because he sounds like a serious DB in his interviews. He sounds terrible. Like, he said something to the effect of, he doesn't even care. He's not even interested in the fact that, like, a bunch of girls want to sleep with him now.
I think
he
said something years ago.
Yeah. What's that?
That was from years ago. That's an old interview. Fake news.
Oh, you're caught up on the Ansel interview timeline?
Yeah, dude. I was actually reading a lot about Ansel.
Speaking of Ansel. All right. Let's get into this. Spider-Man Homecoming. Okay.
He was really good at Spider-Man, Ansel was.
He's really good. Yeah. He's really good in it.
The best Spider-Man, I'd say.
No, seriously, guys, I didn't want a third Spider-Man. I don't know anyone other than the Marvel execs that wanted a third Spider-Man reboot. But they had to have Spider-Man be properly introduced in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And they did that in Civil War, and then they're running this movie, you know, as like an extra intro. Did we need more than what we got in Civil War to have Spider-Man?
No, everybody knows Spider-Man. Like, we've had so much Spider-Man the last 15 years. We didn't need another reboot.
But was it good?
Was this good or was Civil War good?
Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming was good.
But you'd liked it.
I mean, the parts that weren't blurry, or there wasn't that one Chinese guy who kept walking in front of the camera. It was pretty good.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I tell people this all the time. Spider-Man Homecoming is not a great theater experience. If you want to experience Spider-Man Homecoming, definitely get the Chinese cam version. It's undoubtedly a better version.
I like the part where they bleep out porn. Not actual porn, just the word porn. That's a...
They do?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It's a...
They didn't bleep it out in mine.
They didn't. Wow. That's a... You got a bad Chinese... cam version.
The Chinese people bleeped out that word?
Yeah, you can't say porn in China. Like, it's there's no porn allowed in China.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, they actually, that that whole scene didn't make it through the Great Wall filter or whatever they call that thing.
That's right.
Wow.
The Great Firewall, that's what it is.
That's right.
I don't get China sometimes. I don't understand the rules, what they...
They actually just instituted some pretty anti-LGBT internet rules there. Like, you can't be pro-gay anything there now. Pretty whack, so.
Mm. Well, yeah, go figure. A authoritarian regime like that wouldn't want you to be sympathetic to any gay people.
Yeah, seems so cool.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of Homecoming here, because I do really want to break down what worked about this and what didn't. The response to this has been overwhelmingly positive, right? 93% certified on Rotten Tomatoes last I saw. Everyone I've talked to has enjoyed this movie. I'd be lying if I said that I didn't like the movie. I'd also be lying to say if I didn't have total Spider-Man fatigue. Because even though I actually, as a whole, enjoyed this movie, there were still moments where I felt tired. And not just because it was a 2-hour and 20-minute runtime. Like, I felt pretty exhausted. Even my sister, who has to adjust to the fact that this isn't Tobey Maguire, let alone Andrew Garfield. But she even leans in and asks me, why aren't the webs shooting from his wrists? Why are they shooting from a mechanical thing on his wrist?
Sam like Raimi.
Right? Like the Sam Raimi version, right? And so we have to deal with this whole, well, in some of the comic books, the radioactive spider bite causes the web to come from him, and then in some of them they don't. It's too much. I feel like it's too much.
Well, the thing is, that's the problem when you're dealing with a character that everyone has such an intimate relationship with. And the fact that we got the original, 12 years ago, or what is it now? 13 years ago. But it's like, there's so much road that's already, there's so much field that's already been tilled that it's really, really hard to unearth anything that's new or fresh with this character of Spider-Man. And I think that's one of the reasons they went with this whole, like, basically a teenage angle. And for me, like, that was the biggest thing about this movie is the tone of it. I mean, it feels like a like a Disney Channel movie, basically. The audience is definitely, or I should say the aim of the film is a very young audience, probably late teens, early 20s at the most, which is smart. I mean, it's a great market for them. And those are the people that are going to see this movie, so that makes total sense. But for us, you know, the people that have seen the original, the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, and then we made it through the Amazing Spider-Mans, and then now we're here, it's just like, man, how many different times do we have to hear the same story within a short amount of time like this?
But they didn't retell the same, they didn't rehash it.
There's enough of it that it does feel rehashed, though. It's like, I appreciate their approach. I appreciate the fact that they just kind of mention the spider bite and that kind of stuff. But it's like, we already know all this stuff. Well, I mean, that's one of the problems they have with even trying to do this story over again. It's just like the Batman or the Superman series. Like, Superman especially, I feel like that he's the most fatigued of all the superheroes. I mean,
he is.
The Batman?
And I think Superman, for sure. For me, Superman is. And I think that Spider-Man is like teetering on the edge of that same kind of permanent fatigue where we're going to need like 40 years off before we really appreciate the character again. So, but overall, this movie's really good, and I thought it was entertaining. So, and I wanted to really hate it, to be quite honest, but I did like it, so.
Yeah, your first response was, hey, I kind of liked multicultural Spider-Man. Is what
you're it's true. It is true. There's plenty of brown faces. So for that, and I think that's why I liked it so much.
But look, I kind of was hoping that Uncle Ben would become this like South Park Kenny-like figure where he just keeps dying.
Yeah.
And like I was a little bit down with like I want to see Uncle Ben die a third time, but I want it to be in like an accident like at a coal mine or like
in Queens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what would have been so crazy about it, right? Is that
Well, I was hoping they were going to make I was hoping they were going to make Uncle Ben the bodega owner. It's blown out.
Well, Aaron, here's the thing about Uncle Ben. He's a Caucasian male. And talking about bodegas.
We don't know that, as a matter of fact.
Well, if they wanted to make him Russian, then we gotta.
Aunt May is. I mean, she is borderline person of color, right?
Marissa Tomei.
Oh.
Marissa Tomei is not a person of color.
Well, here's the interesting, though. 40 years ago, Italians were considered people of color.
Yeah, she says
now, not so much anymore.
Italians are now whiteies. Them and the Irish are now full-on whiteies.
Yeah, they are. They are. Definitely are.
Welcome to whiteiness, Italians.
I think she did a great job. I think she
killed
like,
it.
You know, she was one of the high points for me, for sure.
I think the most interesting part of the movie, honestly, was the moment where she walks in and Peter has just taken his suit off, and so he's just in his boxers, and he's standing there next to his best guy friend, and it's like just so amped and ready for them to be like, okay, you two have fun in there. Like, you knew it was coming. Like, you're just like, oh, here comes the big gay joke, and it was like, they didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
It was shocking.
I fully expected them to. I'm like, here it goes. It's giving me this awkward, weird thing where she's like, oh, sorry, I'll leave you to, or something. You know what I mean?
Okay, I didn't
like,
realize you guys were doing a science experiment in here.
Well, I was expecting some sort of web shooter accident where he shoots the front of his boxers.
Like, she just hears. See, now here's a funny scene. She just hears them, like, having a little battle with the shooter. Oh, Peter, you got all over my face. Oh, no. Wipe it off.
No. Stop.
Then Marissa Tomei walks in.
No.
Oh, Aunt May. It's
no.
The least thing.
All right, where is this? 22:55. Okay. All
right. You don't have to take that out.
Oh, yeah, that's getting cat.
No.
Wait, that was totally implied. It wasn't.
If you take that out, I'm walking out.
Stop.
So if we have to guess the race of Peter Parker's best friend, what is it?
Filipino.
Oh. What?
Filipino.
He's Filipino, for sure.
He's 100% Filipino. Because he's Asian Hispanic.
Yeah, he's Filipino.
See, I was going to say that, or I was going to say, like, Inuit or something.
Oh, no, no. Alaskan? When you see him, he opens his locker, and he's got the big Manny Pacquiao poster.
Yeah, bro. Manny Pacquiao's
I was asleep during that part.
You could apply several different races, probably, but it's
and that's what I liked about it. So
yeah,
no, he was ambiguous. It was nice. Like, I mean, I love the classmates were cool, and I love that. I'm sure there are many white people today who are pissed about the race of certain characters that were introduced, or like little things.
We're gonna get to that because you're talking to someone who's not super happy about this.
No.
Come on.
I'm kidding.
Well, with that haircut, I assume.
You're pretty Third Reich today.
You mean the John Hamm Baby Driver haircut?
You
no.
Do.
Mm-mm.
I heard John Hamm just had that haircut for Baby Driver because he's getting ready to play Adolf in his next role.
Let's talk about Michael Keaton.
One second.
So,
well, I know Skyler has been... He's been praising Michael Keaton's performance in our little thread that we have going on.
Yes.
I love Michael Keaton. I think he's a great actor. But the character of Vulture for me was just, it was just tired. Like that was my biggest complaint with it. It's like we've seen every iteration of villain at this point. So again, the Spider-Man franchise is kind of hamstrung because of what's come before it.
Mm.
I think Michael Keaton did a fine job, but it's just like, I don't know, man. I wasn't impressed at all.
Really?
I feel like, Yeah, I feel like we've seen this type of character before in Kingpin or who else was like a small-time villain. I mean, there's been a few. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that they didn't make him someone that's trying to take over the world. Even, like, Doc Ock. I thought, like, he kind of laid the groundwork for the Vulture.
This is what I liked about it, though. Okay? Counterpoint. One, Michael Keaton is great, and it's hard for me not to like what he does.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go to spoilers here in just a minute. So, for those of you listening that haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming, go see it. Ultimately, I think all three of us have a positive reaction to this film, regardless of Spider-Man fatigue.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that we all give it our recommendation. Considering the circumstances, it turned out well.
Completely agree.
So,
yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say go to the movie theater tomorrow and see this. No, I would say you can be perfectly fine just waiting until it hits Redbox or regular network TV, as a matter of fact. So
yeah, I mean, I guess you want to catch it before you see Avengers Infinity War, and that won't be till next summer, so you'll have plenty of time to catch it.
Well, okay, that's an interesting point, but because do we really need to see this Spider-Man movie before we see the Avengers movie?
I'm led to believe we do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe it. I guess we'll find out. So
Michael Keaton. What I liked about it is they tied it in, and so these superhero movies have been good at doing this. I guess Spider-Man vs. Superman attempted to do some version of this, where they have, like, the aftermath of destruction. They go back in time to revisit that, and they do this here after with the first Avengers film. And I kind of love the idea of working class Michael Keaton is a contractor who gets the bid to clean up the Chiricahua alien mess in New York City after the events of Avengers 1. I love that they revisited that. And then I also love that a government organization comes in and goes, nope, we're going to take over this, and it's related to Tony Stark. And the line that they give is, the guy that created the mess is going to profit off of cleaning it up. That motivation to me, I love. I love that he's like, okay, you know what? Screw this. We're going to take some of these alien parts. We're gonna mine them for whatever energy or power that they have and create our own weapons and become these small-time crooks, whatever. But, like, that motivation of being like, okay, I put it all on the line to get this bid to pay for, you know, to support and feed my family and the families of the guys on my, you know, my crew, and we're getting pulled away from us from the guy who caused it. That to me is real good villain motivation, right?
Yeah, I like that.
And so I did like that. Now, beyond that, what was unique about this villain? Yeah, not a whole lot. But so I see what you're saying there. But, and this is where I'm going to get into real spoilers. There are a couple things that I really like about this movie, some of my favorite moments, but I can honestly tell you my very favorite 5 minutes of this movie, and it's hands down, is the moment that Peter Parker, again, spoiler, the moment that Peter Parker goes to pick up his prom date and Michael Keaton answers the door. For me, was not predictable. In hindsight, I feel like I should have saw this coming, but all the Michael Keaton stuff was so far removed from the stuff that was going on at his high school that I didn't even consider the possibility. And the tension, and like Hitchcock talks about this, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he talks about how you can take the most mundane scene in a movie, like two people sitting at a table having a conversation, but put a bomb under that table, right? And you've got one of the most tense scenes in the movie, right? You can create tension, but from the most mundane things. And the tension that I felt between him picking him up and in the car ride, and then his, like, you know, the girl he's crushing on or whatever, the senior girl, two grades above him, by the way, totally unrealistic that would happen to him, but whatever. She's also, by the way, that girl is, like, she's got to be 29, 30.
Yeah, and a good 6 inches taller than him.
I know.
What's her, she has one name, right? Just one name?
No, that's Michelle.
Oh, okay.
Her friends call her MJ.
It's really, really common. No, it's super common for Michelle, the name Michelle, to go by MJ.
Well, it's because she likes to smoke, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's MJ. A Mary Jane, you know what I'm saying? It's Mary Jane, not the name, you know what I'm saying? when his prom date is, or his homecoming date is going on and on about, you barely at the party. Oh, you weren't even there. DC inside the Washington Monument. Blah 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 blah. I was just like, oh, man. I really was. There was a lot of tension for me all the way up to the conversation that Michael Keaton has with him, where he says, you know, I will kill you and everyone you love. That, to me, honestly, was my favorite 5 minutes of the movie. I thought the tension was very well executed and very, very good. I really, really dug that scene. And Michael Keaton totally sold it, which is why I was so happy with him and his character.
I really want to see this in theaters because I want to see – I mean, there's a ton of it that I want to see when it's not blurry. But I'm really interested to see the scene where he sees on the news what's happened to his daughter's team at the Washington Monument. Like, does he react? Because like, the way I remember it happening is he reacts as if, like, okay, now I know where Spider-Man is. Or, like, that's how I interpreted it. Not as, like, my daughter is in that debate group or whatever. Like, is she okay? Like,
I don't think he reacted like that's where Spider-Man was, because I think that he was trying to actively avoid him, not necessarily seek him out to kill him. So yeah, I don't think that.
Which I think makes him. I can't remember, though. Cool baddie, like.
It's a different angle for sure. It is a different angle.
I thought he was better than Doc Ock, although, I say that I prefer the actor who played Doc Ock, but. If you guys were watching...
Alfred Molina?
What's that? Alfred Molina. I think is one of America's true... I know he's not American, but I think he's one of America's great treasures.
We stole him.
Yeah, we did. He's on this TV show called Andrew Tribeca. And... oh, he's so good on it. I just... if you're watching Andrew Tribeca, you know. He's fantastic. Anyway. But yeah, I think he's the best villain we've had so far in any of these Spider-Man movies, for sure. In my opinion.
Yeah,
which yeah, I don't know if that's a high bar. Like,
out of Jamie Foxx movies or the Marvel movies?
No, the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Yeah, just like we're talking about. Like, so that'd be Topher Grace, Jamie Foxx.
Dude, Topher Grace.
Who was an Amazing Spider-Man?
James Franco.
Ooh, James Franco.
James Franco and Willem Dafoe. Jamie Foxx and his dad.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Willem.
I said Jamie Foxx. Who was Amazing Spider-Man 1? Oh, the Sandman. He was so bad.
Yeah. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. The guy from Sideways.
Yeah.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Oh, Thomas Hayden Church. That's right. Yeah. The guy from
Lizard King
Big
or what
Fat
was
Liar.
Name?
Paul Giamatti?
Yeah, Paul Giamatti would be a great Marvel baddie.
Oh, man.
Big Fat Liar. It's like the guy from the Planet of the Apes movie with Mark Wahlberg, director of Tim Burton.
Oh, yeah, Paul Giamatti. Oh, my God. He was in that. He was so good. He played, like, the best little ape.
No prosthetics needed.
I don't drink.
No CG.
I like when he's like, I don't drink. Merlot. Remember when Marky Mark had his own Planet movie and we thought it was going to make a bunch of movies and then they're like, no.
Oh, remember when Marky Mark beat that Vietnamese man half to death?
Like
when he was
three
a teenager?
Quarters to death?
Yeah.
And then America just said, it's okay because he's Vietnamese.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're not quite over
Vietnam
that war yet.
Not that much time had passed since Vietnam.
Guys, if you watch Born on the 4th of July, you're going to have some real mixed messages about Vietnam.
Oh, we've seen it, man. You're the one that was late to the party.
Guys, do we understand how good Tom Cruise is at acting?
Yes.
It's a good point to make while we're talking about Spider-Man.
It's a good point.
I know
he should have been the Spider-Man.
He's officially in the Universal Scary Monster universe, but he's not in the MCU yet.
Did you see The Mummy?
Yeah. No.
Oh, gosh. Okay, because he plays a 25-year-old.
No.
Yeah, he does.
What?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He plays a 25-year-old person.
I know he plays a mummy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, he becomes the mummy by the end of the movie, but he plays a 25-year-old person. Yeah.
I really want them to make The Invisible Man with Johnny Depp. So I think that Johnny Depp will he's going to want to, like...
I'm okay with Johnny Depp not making, like, any more movies.
No,
like,
he's going to make that movie, and he's going to, like, want to do the whole, I almost said Robert Downey Jr., and I know that's not right.
Okay.
Who's the guy who is Lincoln? Hold on.
Val Kilmer?
Lincoln.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
DDL.
He's going to do the whole Daniel Day-Lewis thing where he's going to get really into the character. He's going to, like, not get out of character. So he's going to actually, like, literally disappear. And it'll be really good for everyone.
Oh.
Like, it'll just be the end of Johnny Depp.
Oh, interesting. He can disappear with his finances.
Gosh.
with his bank
account.
Doesn't
he make like $90 million per Pirates movie? Like, how is he poor?
Because he buys chateaus in France, and he sees it, and he wants it, and he buys it.
Yeah.
He doesn't consider property taxes and other things that he's paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a month for. Anyway, aside, we've gotten so far off track.
Spider-Man.
Gosh. Okay.
I did like the intro song. The intro song to Spider-Man, where they did the little homage to that Spider-Man song. That was great. No, that was great.
No, it was very good.
You know why I hated it?
It was a good touch.
All I could hear was Spider-Pig, Spider-Pig, does whatever Spider-Pig does.
No. What I'm done with are the Stan Lee cameos.
No, no, no.
After watching Iron Man this week, I have to disagree with you because Iron Man had the worst Stan Lee. I think they're actually getting better with that.
Okay. Of course they are.
He played Hugh Hefner in the first Iron Man.
He played Hugh Hefner very well.
It's so confusing.
Okay. Hear me out here. This MJ reveal, which is problematic for way more reasons other than the fact her name's not Mary Jane and she's not a redhead.
Or white, is what you're trying to say.
All I'm going to say is redhead. Okay? You can imagine the ethnicity that I prefer she was. I'm kidding. But this whole movie, she pops up in these scenes and has these one-liners that are so awful. And like, and it cuts to her in this way that's like, hey, she's going to be really important later on. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind this character, okay? She's going to pop. We're going to keep popping in every now and then. And she's not going to have anything consequential to do other than make these one-liners. But keep watching because she's going to be important. And so the whole time I was watching, and I even turned to my sister and I was like, so at what point is she going to save the day? Right, because I was expecting her to save the day, like save Spider-Man's life or something. But they kept doing it. And it was like distracting to me. Even though her line about the Washington Monument being built by slaves was a good one, mm-hmm. and Martin Starr played off that perfectly. And
shout out to Martin Starr.
Yeah, three
and
cheers
Burris.
For Martin Starr, by the way.
Him and Hannibal Buress were great.
Oh, Hannibal was great. Yeah, no, Hannibal was great. Man, if what I'd give to be a comedian. To be able to have the role where you just play the gym teacher in a Spider-Man movie.
Dude, I thought his interactions with the Captain America video, that was a cool little bit of, like, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, I like that a lot more than having Jon Favreau back.
Oh,
He had way too big of a role in this.
No. It's good to have Happy Hogan back.
Do you mean physically too big? Because that's fat shaping, bro.
No, I'm not saying he's too fat, which he could definitely lose a few pounds, fat ass. But, I'm talking more about just, I mean, like, Jon Favreau is best in film when he's, like, the character in Elf. Or, like, even his Iron Man 1 appearance was okay. Like, he's good in small comp.
What about Rudy?
Quantities. A little too much of him and Rudy.
No, Favreau gets a lot of FaceTime at Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
In the
Did
movie
not
for,
expect
like, 25
that.
Minutes. It's insane.
He's in
it
a lot. He's in
it you know what's funny is, like, every scene that he does is, like, the same. It's like we're going back to Favreau to do the exact same thing that he just did.
He's in this movie more than Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
He's the Robert Downey Jr.
And he plays the bumbling, like, overstressed out, like, chauffeur assistant. Like, that's what he is.
Who did they sell the tower to? Who's taking over that tower? Because I'm calling BS on anybody buying that tower that has a giant Avengers symbol on the side of it, like, built into the architecture of it. You're going to have that A in your name. Like, maybe the AIDS Foundation could take it over, but, like, that's it.
It could be. Hey, hear me out here, okay? It could be the Albertsons family, okay? And they could be grabbing from real-life stories where maybe that A ends up injuring someone because it falls off the building.
Ooh. Ooh. I feel like we're not supposed to talk
about
this.
That's,
are we allowed
that's
to talk about
art
this?
Imitating life.
Oh, man, that was such an inside joke that no one understands.
Was Aaron one of, like, the 16 writers on this movie? Did you get a pass on the screenplay, Aaron?
Yeah, that's how I got this new apartment. I did do one draft, and it was actually my idea to make MJ not redheaded and not with the name Mary or Jane.
You wanted her to be, like, nicely racially ambiguous, too.
Yeah.
Is she black?
Yeah.
Is she Hispanic? Is she black? Is she Hispanic?
Racially ambiguous, sexually ambiguous.
Oh.
And in detention for no reason whatsoever.
She's like sketching Hannibal Buress.
Doesn't even make sense. That doesn't make sense.
They were finding ways to include her in scenes that she had no business being in. And was it your idea, Aaron, to cast a Disney Channel starlet? I mean,
yes.
Okay,
that was my suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey guys, those Disney kids, they love going to movies. And this movie just made $117 million, so...
Yeah, so let's talk about that. This overperformed expectations.
It did. It did very well.
Disney was thinking 80 to 90 million. It did 117. That's a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good summer for superhero movies because Wonder Woman way outperformed what it was supposed to do domestically.
And amazingly, in what seems to be a sexist move, we have chosen not to do a Wonder Woman pod.
I wasn't part of the podcast.
I haven't seen it.
Dude, it's great.
Oh, you haven't... Now, Skylar, you went to one of the women-only screenings.
Well, I wouldn't let... I just couldn't stand for that. So I said, not all men. Hashtag not all men. And
well, you actually went in breastfeeding your child. That's how you got in.
Yeah, but she kept getting hair in her mouth, and she didn't like it. So. Oh, no. Actually, you can't go in with a baby at Alamo Draft House.
Oh, that's right. Well, they don't want millennials having kids anymore.
That's right. Well, have you heard though, millennials, they're killing Buffalo Wild Wings, and they're not having kids anymore. They're just...
Yeah.
Millennials actually killed the McWrap. I just read that yesterday.
They killed the McWrap?
What's the McWrap?
Yeah, do you remember the McWrap was the chicken tender wrapped in a like a bad tortilla? Yeah.
But... Well, yeah. Do you guys remember when Select McDonald's used to have pizza? Like, we had a McDonald's that was in a Target when I was a kid that had pizza. What? It was the McPizza.
Oh, that was a McDonald's / Pizza Hut.
No. It was a full-on McDonald's, and it had pizza, and it was wonderful. What a time to be alive that was. Man, do you guys remember the 90s?
No, I don't. You know what was actually surprising me about this movie, Spider-Man? There wasn't a lot of product placement. Am I crazy?
I couldn't. It was like watching this movie without glasses if you had terrible vision.
Oh yeah,
so
that's true.
I have no idea there's product placement or not.
It's lost on you. Sorry.
I'm trying to think.
It could
if
have been
there was
drinking
product placement.
Pepsi the whole time. I wouldn't know.
We don't count product placement as it like. We don't count other future Avenger films as product placement, right?
I mean, maybe we should, but I was like expecting a Snickers scene or like a Doritos scene.
Audi.
Or
there was that scene.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you
Audi? Yep. There's a bunch of Audi commercials that they film with Tom Holland.
Yeah, that's true,
dude.
And that's the car that Vulture drives.
I have nightmares about driving like Tom Holland was driving that car though, where you're just like completely out of control, but going way too fast. Like that was giving me some anxiety, but I mean, I thought the goop product placement was pretty subtle. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, she was just very subtle with her goop. She had her stickers on. She had her vaginal stone in. And she just, it was very subtle. So good job, goop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what goop is.
Dude, that's go to 90s. Goop.com. I'm sure that's their website. It's a company started by Gwyneth Paltrow that sells stupid stuff to women, and they way overcharge.
Oh, is that what it is?
They have like these little rocks that you can put in your hoo-ha, and they cost like $200. And they have stickers that you put on your skin.
Wow.
That cost $60.
Okay. What is this?
Is that what was? Was that?
You are not taking this out. You are not taking this out.
Wait, those little rocks. Is that what powers the guns that the Vulture makes?
It is. It's the Chirikai. Yeah.
And so if you just like if you just lean back and you kind of
stop. Okay. No. Stop. No. Is that Texas in the American flag on your shirt?
It's just Texas.
Oh, we have got to make this stop. Oh my gosh.
Hey Patreon subscribers.
He's such a homer, it's ridiculous.
This is absurd. Okay. You guys already have your own national anthem.
Look, if we weren't the greatest state in the world, we wouldn't be so proud.
Alright, lastly, are we to believe here that Pepper Potts and Tony Stark are getting married?
Who cares? I'm so over Tony Stark.
Really, really dumb.
It's really dumb.
I thought he was done. I thought Robert Downey Jr. was out.
No, he keeps saying that, but that's only to negotiate bigger deals. The same thing Daniel Craig is doing with the Bond films.
Oh. What if Robert Downey Jr. relapses?
Oh,
my God.
Can you imagine?
Do you think that...
Well, I'll tell you what. It wouldn't stop Marvel from casting him in these films.
It certainly wouldn't.
What if he OD'd, though? Can I just...
He can't.
Can I make a suggestion?
It's impossible.
So this is what's interesting, is I don't think Disney is going to be as precious with Robert Downey Jr. as they are with Leia, with Carrie Fisher. Because they're saying that they won't do a CGI Fisher, which is hilarious. They did CGI Fisher while she was alive, but they won't do it after she's dead. No, you absolutely get a CGI Tony Stark
if he
ODs.
I have a better idea. Recast. There's only one actor who could play the role.
Johnny Depp.
Terrence Howard. He knows the role. He's been there on
set. The original
set.
Roadie. The original Roadie.
Yeah. He's light-skinned, so he can kind of do it.
Would you do Terrence Howard in white?
Yes, you would. Of course you would.
Okay. Okay.
And, like, the whole time he's just looking right at camera like, I'm back, bitches. I'm back. That'd be amazing. I just want that really bad. After watching the first Iron Man, that is the worst part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that Terrence Howard was replaced because he was so good as Rhodey. Like, he was awesome.
Yeah, but it was hard for me to get upset about it because Don Cheadle is just such a better actor overall.
No, but Don Cheadle brought no life to that character. I couldn't care less what happened. But, like, after Hustle and Flow, Terrence Howard, man, he's the man. What is he doing now? I know. Oh, I guess he's in that Fox
he's
Black
in Empire.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Empire, not Blackish.
It's full on Black.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right, we're at the 46-minute mark, and we were 15 minutes over. We were only going to do 30 on Spider, because we got to talk about the Big Sick in another episode. So, any other last thoughts on Spider-Man home potting?
Spider-Man, check it out when it's on regular TV. Do not need to see it in the theater unless you first saw it on a Chinese bootleg.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, boys.
Wait, do I not get any final thoughts?
Oh, all right, go for it.
Just go to goop.com. Look for Imaginal Rocks. No. I thought Spider-Man was a fun movie. I liked the... You know what? It was a good-looking movie. And I like that they tried different things.
But who is John Watts? And his filmography is very bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I love the coloring. Like, I like the yellow jacket and the red and blue suit. Like, just the primary colors looked so good. And then the way they used it throughout the movie, like, I thought it was a little blurry. But, I mean, I don't think that's his fault. But I just thought it was a really cool-looking. And, like, we've seen Spider-Man so many times in the last decade that it was really refreshing that, like, they went to the suburbs of Queens. Like, they went out to Long Island, and we had a long period of time where we were on Long Island, which is just a place we haven't seen Spider-Man before, where he's not just going from skyscraper to skyscraper in Manhattan, where he's, like, actually on Long Island.
That's a good
point.
And,
like, even when he was in Queens, like, he's helping people on the street. Like, that was very refreshing and small, and we haven't seen that in a Spider-Man movie, and I loved
it. I'm used to him saving people conveniently outside of the Chrysler building.
Right. Or, like, holding up the World Trade Center to catch a helicopter.
Oh, yeah. That's the greatest teaser of all time.
Oh, wow. That means that the first Spider-Man came out in 2001?
Yeah, I think it released 2002.
But they had the trailer pre-9/11?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. It's a long time ago. 15 years, and they made 5 movies. This is the best one, though.
No, I was going to ask that. Honestly, where does it rank
for you?
It's
the best one.
Oh. What?
I was kidding yesterday when I was texting and saying that Topher was better. Or not Topher.
It's this is the fourth best.
No.
Maybe.
That's insane. The first...
Okay, first
It's
out.
Better
okay.
than the first Amazing first Spider-Man.
It's definitely not better than Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man.
2 is... Yeah, 2 is best. I would say, for me, it ties number 2.
But see,
two,
I think this is...
Spider-Man 1.
I think
1.
This is the best Spider-Man we've seen, like, actor-wise. I think... I love how young he is. I love
so
how...
So I'm alone in thinking... Okay, so The Amazing Spider-Man is still better.
No, the first Andrew Garfield one.
The second Andrew Garfield one sucked, so it's not better.
No, the
it's
first
not
Andrew Garfield
one's
a mediocre movie. Like, it's better than the second one, but it's not great. Like, this is the best version of the character we've seen. Because, like, he's an amateur.
Other than the Tobey Maguire
He doesn't know one. What he's doing. In the Tobey Maguire one, he's an amazing Spider-Man, amazing, like, instantly. Like, he's doing all his things. He's perfect. Like, he's not... This one, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It's awesome. Like, he's a complete amateur.
When was the last time you saw Spider-Man, the first one, Skyler? Because I think you're getting the movie wrong.
Yeah, I think he is getting it
he
really
was
wrong. Because he screws up a lot.
The first 45 minutes of that first Spider-Man movie is him dealing with being Spider-Man.
They have 45 minutes montage of screwing up.
Right, but that was... it's a totally different thing, though, because that's a... It's a movie where that was all about him becoming Spider-Man. This is a movie where he's already Spider-Man, and he still has no idea what he's doing, which I thought was really cool. Like,
did you think it was kind of a cop-out giving him the whole suit thing to hinder him? Like, it made him just like Iron Man.
No, because, I mean, if they would have had it be with him the whole time, yes. But the fact that when he went up against his villain at the end, he didn't have it, I thought was cool. Because, like, he wasn't like Iron Man in that moment. He had to do it himself.
All he could do is jump high and... He's stronger?
he's a superhero. Like, that's the thing is, when he makes the comment that he's nothing without the suit, then he is something without the suit. He's Spider-Man. So.
Yeah, well, he's a major benefactor of Stark technology.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Too much, so. Too much, though.
I agree. Okay. All right. Those are some good final thoughts. We should have gotten into the debate of where this lies in the ranking of Spider-Man films earlier, because I'm really interested in this. Like, I am flabbergasted that Skylar thinks is the best one.
Well, you know what's flabbergasting is that B-More thinks is the best MCU movie.
Okay, that was a good diversion because it totally worked. The fact it's that like the B-More tenth best the MCU balls movie. To say that is ridiculous. It's not even the best MCU movie this year, because that's going to be Thor 3.
Guardians 2 already, though.
Oh, Guardians 2 already. Yeah.
And Thor 3's...
Guardians 2 is a better
Thor
movie.
Thor 3 has real potential to be the best MCU movie.
Guardians 2 is definitely a better film.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, I also think that Thor 3 will be the best one we've ever seen, so I'm excited.
I hope so.
Taika.
Come on, Taika.
Believe in Taika.
Okay. All right, we got to move on. All right, boys. As we say...
Hold on to your butts. Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.